This is the it's a joint meeting of the Redevelopment Agency and the Pismo Beach City Council on Tuesday, January 17th, and is now a little after 4:30. And roll call, please.
Mayor, Board Member Reese.
Here.
Our chairperson, excuse me. Mayor Pro Tem, Vice Chairperson Gonzalez G.
Here.
Board Member, Council Member Higginbotham.
Here.
Board Member, Council Member Rabinault.
Here.
Board Member, Council Member Natoli.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, the invocation will be given by Dr. Paul Jones. And then would you remain standing for the pledge?
Would you please bow your heart in prayer with me? Our Heavenly Father, as we open the first City Council meeting of the year 2006, we pause to express gratitude for the great and lasting legacy handed down to us by our founding forefathers. The Washington Monument is the tallest structure in Washington, D.C., and there can never be a building of any greater height than this monument in our nation's capital. On the aluminum cap atop this monument are displayed two Latin words, Los Deo. No one can see these words, and most visitors are totally unaware that they are there. But these words have been there for 118 years. They are 555 feet 5 inches high, facing skyward to the Father of our nation. Insignificant, out of sight, and yet they are very meaningfully placed at the highest point over the most powerful city of the most successful nation in the world, the United States of America. These two Latin words with only seven letters simply say, Praise be to God. Many of the 50 landings of the 898-step stairway in this national monument share a message. The 12th landing is a prayer offered by the City of Baltimore. The 24th landing is a presentation by Sunday school children quoting Bible verses. And deposited in the cornerstone is a copy of the Holy Bible. Such is the discipline and the spiritual mood and the moral direction given to us by the founders and the first president of our unique democracy, one nation under God. And in this sacred spirit, we join our founding fathers tonight and also declare, Praise be to God. In God we trust. We invoke your infinite wisdom to be graciously bestowed on each member of our city council. They will face problems today and through the new year. We ask you to grant solutions that at times may come unexpectedly and perhaps even unexplainably, but allow your divine leadership to be manifest in their lives and their decisions as well as their support staff. It is for this cause that we pray for them daily by name. Out of any confusion, bring harmony and unity, and fill City Hall and these council chambers with the peace and the power of your eternal presence, and cause each home and each citizen in Pismo Beach to feel the impact. This invocation we pray in the name of our personal Savior and Lord. Amen. Will you please place your right hand over your heart and follow me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. Okay, the next item on our agenda are presentations, and we have several of them, and I will have each one of the city council read one of them for the presentations to our city employees. And so we'll start with the first one, which is our outstanding City Hall employee. And I will meet each employee at the lectern. Who has the one for Jamie?
Well, it's with great pleasure that I'm able to read this proclamation for Jamie Light. Outstanding, dated the 17th day of January, 2006, Mayor Mary Ann Reese. Congratulations.
Jamie. It is my pleasure to present this to you. I know how hard you've worked, and your fellow employees and your managers have recognized that, and congratulations. If you'd like to say something, feel welcome to do that.
Thank you. I'd like to thank council and the rest of the staff members for voting for me and the confidence in me. I'd like to also thank Dennis and Brian and Greg for letting me expand my horizons and letting me learn every day and assigning me to new projects. I love working for this city, and I'm very proud to work here. It's a beautiful place, and I'd like to see many more years here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, the proclamation is for Aaron Kramer. Is Aaron here? Oh, hi. This proclamation recognizing police dispatcher Aaron Kramer as the police department's 2005 Employee of the Year. Whereas the employee of the City of Pismo Beach nominate and select one of their peers for special recognition as Employee of the Year. And whereas police dispatcher Aaron Kramer has displayed exemplary performance in her role as dispatcher, dispatch training officer, and emergency medical dispatch. And whereas Aaron Kramer was the lone dispatcher on duty at 8:40 p.m. on the evening of June 14th when a tsunami warning was broadcast by the National Weather Service. And whereas, despite being inundated with hundreds of calls into the dispatch center for concerned citizens, Aaron Kramer performed her duties with professionalism, poise, and was the voice of calm reassurance to her community in this time of need. And whereas it is the intent of the City of Pismo Beach City Council to annually recognize and pay tribute to the exceptional performance of its employees through the Employee of the Year program, now therefore be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach recognizes police dispatcher Aaron Kramer as the Police Department's 2005 Employee of the Year, dated this 17th day of January 2006, and signed by our Mayor, Mary Ann Reese. Aaron, I am very proud to present this to you. It is my pleasure. We are very proud of you and the job that you are doing for the City of Pismo Beach. Thank you very much.
I just want to thank you. This means a lot to me. I love my job, and it's very nice to be recognized for it. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next presentation is for
Police Sergeant Tom Ports as the Police Department's 2005 Officer of the Year. Whereas the employees of the City of Pismo Beach nominate and select one of their peers for special recognition as Officer of the Year, and whereas Police Sergeant Tom Ports has displayed exemplary performance in his role as watch commander, supervisor, and citizens volunteer patrol coordinator, and whereas Sergeant Ports has performed a number of additional duties to benefit the police department, such as serving as a drug abuse resistance education instructor, department training coordinator, and as a coordinator for a highly successful International Footprint Association's annual Cops and Kids Field Day, and whereas Sergeant Ports has been identified by his superiors and subordinates as having a consistently cheerful attitude, an extremely professional yet easygoing style, and a strong work ethic and devotion to the police department and the citizens of Pismo Beach. And whereas it is the intent of the Pismo Beach City Council to annually recognize and pay tribute to the exceptional performance of his employees through the Officer of the Year program. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach, hereby recognize Sergeant Tom Ports as the Police Department's 2005 Officer of the Year, dated the 17th day of January, 2006, signed by Mary Ann Reese, Mayor.
Tom, it's really my pleasure to present this to you, and I have recognized more than once the good job that you've done for the city of Pismo Beach, and in particular when I was at the D.A.R.E. graduation, how those little children looked at you and just smiled and looked in your eyes, and they were very, very proud to do that job for you. So thank you very much for working for the city of Pismo Beach.
I was in the Napa Valley Marathon on March 5th in support of the National Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Oh, my gosh.
That's fantastic. She is... her pledges are going to a person from San Luis Obispo that is afflicted with this, and the proceeds are going to benefit that person. And that's a phenomenal run, and that's just something over and above what she's doing through work. That's a benefit to our community. So I'm very proud of these people, and I hope you are too. Thank you.
Next presentation we have is for Captain Paul O'Connor.
Okay. This is a proclamation, recognizing Fire Captain Paul O'Connor as the Fire Department 2005 Employee of the Year. Whereas each year the employees of the City of Pismo Beach nominate and select one of their peers for special recognition as Employee of the Year, and whereas Fire Captain Paul O'Connor has been professionally employed as a full-time firefighter for 27 years, and whereas Captain Paul O'Connor has served the last 4 years as one of two captains at the Shell Beach Fire Station in Pismo Beach, and whereas Captain O'Connor is appreciated by his supervisors, peers, and subordinates as having consistently a cheerful attitude, an extremely professional yet easygoing style, a strong work ethic, and devotion to the fire department and the public we serve. And whereas Captain O'Connor has served for 4 years on the Special Events Committee, has performed numerous pre-fire plan inspections, has played a key role in the design and future construction of the Shell Beach Fire Station, and has taken an active role in the training and development of new firefighters. And whereas Captain O'Connor has demonstrated numerous times his professionalism and skills as an incident commander on surf and cliff rescues, traffic accidents, and fires. Whereas it is the intent of the Pismo Beach City Council to annually recognize the exceptional performance of its employees through the Employee of the Year program. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach, hereby recognizes Fire Captain Paul O'Connor as the Fire Department 2005 Employee of the Year, dated the 17th day of January, 2006, Mary Ann Reese, Mayor. Congratulations.
To present this to you, and we are very proud of you, and keep up the good work, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I guess one of the most important things I want to thank, or the people that I want to thank, are the reserves, fire department personnel in Pismo. All the fire department people that I've worked with the last 27 years in CDF, the organization that I am very proud to be a part of. I don't think I deserve this as an individual, but I'll accept this as a team effort and a group from all of the people here at Pismo, because we are a team. And thank you very much.
Each year, the Chamber of Commerce selects their Citizen of the Year, and this year they selected Dr. Paul Jones, and it's my pleasure to recognize him on behalf of the City Council. A proclamation recognizing Dr. Paul Jones as the Chamber of Commerce 2005 Citizen of the Year. Whereas Dr. Paul Jones has been a resident of Pismo Beach for 16 years and is a retired minister, and whereas Dr. Jones serves the city of Pismo Beach as the city chaplain and daily serves the city by his daily walks throughout the town, and whereas Paul has served the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce as their president in 1999 and has been a member of the chamber for 9 years, and whereas Paul has been a member with perfect attendance in Rotary for 35 years. And whereas Dr. Paul Jones has been selected as Citizen of the Year 2005 due to his selfless service and dedication to the City of Pismo Beach. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach hereby recognizes and extends sincere appreciation to Dr. Paul Jones for his ongoing and outstanding loyalty to the City of Pismo Beach, dated the 17th day of January 2006, Mary Ann Reese, Mayor. Dr. Jones, believe me, you've told us that you say prayers for us on a daily basis by name, and I truly do appreciate that, and we all do, and we need it desperately. And thank you for being here every council meeting and saying our invocation, and thank you for being a good citizen of Pismo Beach. We appreciate you so much, and it's my pleasure to present this to you. Thank you.
I am deeply moved by the honor that you have expressed today.
In Pismo Beach, and whereas Splash Cafe has won the coveted People's Choice Award in the Clam Chowder Cook-Off a record 10 times, and whereas Splash Cafe has continually supported the City of Pismo Beach in any way they could, and whereas Splash Cafe has been selected as Business of the Year 2005 due to their hard work and dedication to the City of Pismo Beach. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach hereby recognizes and extends sincere appreciation to Splash Cafe for their ongoing and outstanding loyalty of the city to the City of Pismo Beach, dated the 17th day of January 2006, Mary Ann Reese, Mayor. Congratulations. It's well-deserved, and thank you so much for being part of our community and working so hard to build your business. I love it when I come into town and I see the line around the corner. Congratulations.
Thank
my pleasure
so
to
much.
Give this to you.
Thank you so much. Joanne and I are really honored to receive this from a city that we truly love so much. Thank you very much. And I also would like to take this opportunity to thank the council for all the great work you've done downtown. Things are much nicer down there, and I'd also like to congratulate the city on the new sewer plant. That's a big plus. Thank you so much.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is public comment period, and let's see. This is the time for the public to speak on items that are not on the agenda. And I only have one card here. Is there anyone that has not turned in a card that would like to speak? John, do you want to come on up and speak?
John Stillwell, Pismo Beach, Mayor and Council. At the previous council meeting in the middle of December, Pro Tem Arlene G. asked staff about what the status was the Cypress Street Bridge. And the answer I heard at that meeting was, we're waiting for some oil company to give us approval to take a pipe out. That was 6 weeks ago, and the bridge is still in the same identical status. If I remember right, I heard at the council meetings that the Cypress Street Bridge was supposed to be done before Halloween, and was definitely supposed to be done before the holiday season to let people walk them back and forth across it. I would suggest to the council to have something for the council to go to this oil company and give them some kind of ultimatum, cut their pipe in two, send it to them by FedEx, and block the ends off and finish the bridge, okay?
Thank you, John. But, you know, that was a question that I was going to ask the city manager, and I think he might be able to give us a report on that right now.
Yeah, the pipe, Madam Mayor and Council, the pipe has been cut. And in fact, the contractor had promised us last week he would be back to finish it. It's actually yesterday, but now he's telling us he'll be here tomorrow. So correct me if I'm wrong there, Director of Public Works, but I think by late this week, early next week, the thing will be done. But the pipe has been removed.
Yes.
Okay.
One thing I'd like to add to that, we did actually do that with our own contractor. We did not wait for the oil company to do the work. We did give them an ultimatum, and we had it done with our own contractor. Now, as far as completion of the bridge, as of late this afternoon, a check was made with our contractor to be sure he'll be out tomorrow morning, and he says he will. So he also says he only has a few days of work left on the bridge. So if weather doesn't get in the way, and if indeed he does show up tomorrow and stay on the job till he gets done, we should have the bridge completed next week, and then as soon as that's done, we'll come in with our own crews and stripe it, put the signing up, and we'll be ready to put the bridge into use by the end of next week.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, John.
Madam Mayor and Council, if I could, too, there were two pipes on the bridge, so there might be some confusion. If you went down there right now, I think you'd still see one pipe, but that won't prevent us from moving ahead with the work.
Okay. That is an oil company pipe?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Okay. So it won't prevent us from finishing the work?
The pipe that was in the way of the railing has been removed. That was a Chevron pipeline. That's been removed.
Okay. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to speak on an item not on the agenda? Okay. And I think I have one.
And crew that he employed to do it. It was a potential danger to the public because it could have fallen onto a sidewalk or the street. Second thing I'd like to mention is a column that was in the Tribune this morning by David Brooks, who writes for the New York Times. Not usually one of my favorite columnists, but this is a very good one for all of us who are infected with politics and government in our bloodstream. It talked about Senator Joe Biden, who's been known to talk a lot. And it says that people like him are suffering from logorrhea dementia, the malady of being driven insane by the act of talking too much. I thought that was pretty good for a lot of us. He also said it is true that this man has no speed bumps between his brain and his mouth. That reminded me of an old sign that I've showed to you before, that we all are familiar with, that applies to all of us, I think, and makes our meetings too long. Last thing I'd like to mention is this is sort of an anniversary of a very unsavory time in our city's history. About 10 years or so ago, two city council members were recalled and removed from public office because of a lot of perceived ill things that they had done. One of them largely was removed because he had been mistreating public employees verbally. And then even going around town telling everybody how the city staff was usurping the city council's authority. This was not a very good thing because a lot of people like to rely on our city staff. And if we don't feel that they're doing a good job, maybe we would ask the council find new staff. But to verbally abuse any member of our staff, especially by a council member, as far as I'm concerned, is definitely bad for the city. And I hope we can all learn a lesson from that unsavory episode 10 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on an item that's not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none. Then I'll come back to the council. This is the time for city council comments and requests. Councilman Natoli, do you have anything?
Yeah, we're going to have some guests from, I believe it's San Miguel. There's a teacher up in San Miguel that every year she seeks to bring two classes of her students. I believe they're third and fourth graders down to our butterfly orchards. So they will be here on February 1st, and hopefully somebody from the city will be there to greet them. They did it last year. The students raised $600 to get bus fare to come down here. And I don't know how they did it this year, but they're going to be here on the 1st of February. So I think that somebody from the city should be down there to recognize them and let them show them that we welcome them to our city to to enjoy our butterfly orchard. At first, when they wanted to come down here, the state said they didn't have any docents available to show them around. So obviously, I think somebody from Cal Poly, maybe Dr. Fry, I believe it is, got somebody that's going to show them around. So it's a situation that I think that we should look into, that hopefully someday maybe Pismo Beach can get their foot in the door and maybe take over the operation of that butterfly orchard. Since we have a proclaimed February 5th is a it's a holiday that was proclaimed by Senator McPherson when he was senator through Sheila Boone and myself. And we'd like to really enjoy that February as a celebration so we can preserve our butterfly population coming to our city every year as they do. So that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Councilwoman Higginbotham, do you have anything?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Last Thursday, the Parks and Rec Commission had an award ceremony, and they gave out 6 awards for the light decorating contest, and they had wonderful prizes, so I'd like to congratulate them. They had more contestants than ever before, so that whole contest has taken on a life of its own, so congratulations. Mr. Anthony beat me to the punch in thanking Public Works for their hard work during the storm. We had a big tree down on Wadsworth, and it was removed probably within 45 minutes. And so we're very grateful for all their hard work. I wanted to thank Marilee Hyman, because a week ago Thursday, about 7:30 in the morning, I got a phone call, and she said, Shelly, she said, I need volunteers. They're coming a day early to spray the rubberized surface at Dinosaur Caves, and we need people to keep the kids and dogs off. Do you know anybody? And I said, you couldn't have called me at a worse day. And she said, well, I'm trying to downtown how many buildings we have left to do and if we have a plan for that, if that would be possible.
I can provide that at
okay.
the council.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Councilman Rabinow.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
Well, good, because I have a few things, and that'll help speed this up. Thank you, Councilmember Rabinow. Firstly, I wanted to...
I don't want to engage those speed bumps in my brain or whatever it was.
I wanted to ask Mr. Dalzite, it's kind of a two-part question. In case you missed Mr. Dalzite's article in the newspaper, and he was also on the radio, I wanted to ask him if we're still on schedule for the completion date of the wastewater treatment plant, and how are we as far as money budgeted for that project? Are we still on in line with that?
The project has gone very well. We're on budget and on schedule. The original contract amount for the construction was approximately $10.5 million, and we've had very few change orders. And as far as the schedule goes, the contractor by contract is allowed up until April, unless he gets some weather delays, and since we're in a rainy season, that's still a possibility. We are nearly 90% complete with the work, and all that remains are converting a few of our old existing units on the plant and also paving and landscaping and the aesthetic features. So everything has gone quite well.
Great. That's wonderful to hear. And then I had a question for Mr. Bloom about the SIG meetings, the Community Improvement Group. I had called and I didn't get a return call, so I was wondering how come it's also a two-part, how come we hadn't had a meeting in a long time, because I felt like those meetings were really getting a lot done. And then secondly, the medallions, the event medallions for downtown, events such as the Clam Festival and the band review, those were supposed to be up. How is that coming along?
That's still all in our work program, except that right at the end of the year we got into a heavy workload on other issues, and we were going to kickstart that sequence of meetings again right after the first of the year. But the original company that we were dealing with, we're going to go to another company.
Oh.
Because we can get a better product.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bloom. And then I wanted to ask the council what they feel about the laptops that we're not using. Might we donate those back to the city so someone could be making good use of them. Those are nice laptops, and I don't see us using them. So maybe we could talk about that. I hate to see them collecting dust at home when there might be someone here at the city that can use those. And then I wanted to thank Rebecca McMurray from the Chamber. Rebecca, anyone that knows Rebecca knows that every event, she's the first one there and the last to leave. And Rebecca just has done a wonderful job over the last year. And then I just wanted to mention that at the when Reverend Paul Jones retired, was a at the Citizen of the Year event, his son was able to attend. And his son did the opening prayer, and it was so beautiful. And I was able to tell him that he is just like his mother, Joy. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
That was great. You always have a good sense of humor. I don't really have anything tonight either, other than the fact that I keep noticing how many children are playing in the playground area at Dinosaur Caves. It seems like every time, no matter how many times a day I pass by, there are a load of children just playing on all those animals, and it's such a pleasure to see. So I just wanted to mention that. And I, too, want to thank Rebecca, especially for the recognition you gave the City Council. It's very much appreciated. So thank you very much again. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the consent agenda. Is there anything that the City Council wanted to pull from the agenda? Okay. If not, I'll entertain a motion for approval. And I'll just mention that the last item, 4J, has to do with the redevelopment agency, just to mention it for the audience and the public, a resolution of the redevelopment agency of the City of Pismo Beach appropriating $46,493 from the agency's unallocated fund balance. So that's why we were meeting as in a joint meeting. Okay?
I move for approval of the consent agenda.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second for approval of the consent agenda.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
How we got to where we are and what you all have approved. The experts that you've mentioned are Paul Sorensen, who's a hydrogeologist, who has done a water study on the Meadow Creek aquifer. He represents Fugro Associates. He will be here to talk to you and answer any questions you might have. We also have a Spencer Harris, who is also a hydrogeologist, certified hydrogeologist, works for Leith and Associates, who has done three different studies on the Los Robles Aquifer. And, of course, we have the applicant, Mr. Larry Persons, standing outside. and we have Mr. Persons, the applicant for Los Robles Del Mar, and Mr. Justinson, who also works for him. So with that, I'll turn it over to Randy.
Thank you. I'm going to relay this over to John Rickenbach from Rincon Consultants. John has been our planning planner on this project that's taken it through the Planning Commission and the City Council. And as you recall, that several years ago, we've been operating under a council direction that all projects outside the city limits be processed, outsourced to private consultants with the management of myself. And as such, John has worked on this project, as I say, through the Planning Commission and City Council. John's going to give you a brief history. I thought it'd be important to kind of remember where we went and then some of the conclusions, and then as the presentation goes on, the various consultants can give their expertise. This is no action required. It's just a report that for the council to receive, and after the presentations, if council has any questions from the general public or staff, we'd be happy to answer them. And I'll turn it over to John. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. I'm John Rickenbach with Rincon Consultants. I'd like to briefly bring us up to speed on a project we're all familiar with at one level or another. Can you hear me now? Okay. And just briefly, the Los Robles Del Mar specific plan is a 312 residential unit specific plan subdivision, tentative or tract map, on 182 acres, currently outside the city limits, but within the city's sphere of influence. It's on the west side of Oak Park Boulevard, just north of the Sea Country Estate subdivision. And by way of background, it's got a long history. It dates back to 1987, when that site was put in the city's sphere of influence. In the early and it went through a variety of potential ideas for development. In the early 90s, the applicant came forward with a plan. It's not materially too different than what we're considering now or what has been considered already. However, and it was actually approved. A specific plan was approved in 1996. Subsequent to that, there were two lawsuits, one brought forward by Lucia Marr School District, having to do with fees that was resolved. The other was brought forth by some citizens in Arroyo Grande, went through the courts, and ultimately the EIR, which had been certified, the specific plan, which had been approved, the court took certain actions. They kept the EIR as certified, but they overturned the specific plan, and they asked that the applicant go back and change a few things about the plan, then you could come forward with it. As a result of that, in the late 90s, in about 2000-2001, the plan was revised to address what the court had asked, and ultimately it was brought forward to the council. In February of 2004, and in your packet you have a history which goes into more detail than I will be going into here. In February 2004, the City Council approved the specific plan as revised. It also approved two general plan amendments to address what the court had asked for: fiscal impact study, tentative tract, and development plan. In November of 2004, the council adopted a resolution to forward this to LAFCO, since it will have to be annexed. In December, the council adopted the remaining provisions that needed to be done, which included the pre-zoning code and the development agreement, the pre-annexation and development agreement for the project. Now, that would be the end of it all, and it would be forwarded to LAFCO, but for the fact that the council asked for a few things as a result of those actions. And specifically, the reason why we're here today is to really address the major one, which had to do with water. The city had asked, as a condition of approval of the specific plan, to address water supply provisions, which once satisfied or once resolved to the satisfaction of the city, would allow the city to serve the project for municipal water supplies. In summary, these provisions required that the applicant determine the safe yield characteristics of potential groundwater sources that could be used for the project, focusing on on-site wells, analyzed the pumping capacity and the quality of the on-site wells. At one time, there were two on-site wells. There has since been a third on-site well added. And as a result of all that, there are three studies or studies by Cleith in the report that you have. And the net effect or the net finding of this is that the safe yield from the well configuration as revised is about 157 acre feet per year based on a new well that was recently put in. To put that in the context of the project requirements, the project required about 151 acre feet per year to serve the residential aspect and also the Coastal Christian School aspect, which I had not mentioned, but is actually part of the specific plan that had been approved. The water quality within the on-site wells was found to be good. So that's the Los Robles site. Now, the Meadow Creek Aquifer was also studied, and that's a study that Fugro had put together. And what they did, they looked to see what the sustainable safe yield of that aquifer might have been and how good the water quality could be. Water quality was actually studied in great detail by the Wallace Group, who in turn helped, was assisted by Boyle Engineering. In other words, what you're seeing is you've got all the experts rounded up to study this project. And in a nutshell, what Fugro found was that there seemed to be plenty of water, but there might have been a question, that is to say something on the order of 250 acre feet per year. But plus or minus. In other words, enough to serve the project. But some question as to whether that aquifer was within or part of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. Without going into a whole lot of detail, that's an important question because that is a groundwater basin that the city currently gets water from, and to get water from this Meadow Creek aquifer might have raised a question about whether that's a new water source or not. So as a result of those two studies and Boyle Engineers' cost estimates associated with treating those wells in the Meadow Creek aquifer, the city went back with the applicants with all these studies and said, okay, here's what we have. And it was determined with the consultants and the city engineer that the Los Robles aquifer might be, or the Los Robles wells might be a better source of water, a more sustainable source. And with the cost estimates put forward by Boyle as part of these studies, sat down and tried to hammer out what needs to happen here. In conclusion, what all this does for your purposes is fulfill the conditions in the development agreement related to what the council had asked for before, which is to say go back and study the water supply issues and determine whether there is sufficient water from where and how it can be put forward. That has been done. As a result, as I say, the city staff and its consultants are working with the applicant to develop the Los Robles wells as the primary water source. This information will then be able to be forwarded to LAFCO for their consideration. All this had to be resolved in advance of that. City staff has been in negotiations now with the applicant to determine an equitable dollar amount that would satisfy the language of the development agreement in offsetting the development costs of water. And in short, the developer has agreed to pay the city the amount of $2.5 million to offset the cost of developing the water, which is a substantial amount more than had originally put in the development agreement, which was $600,000. So the net result is that the city will have additional water with which to treat and or supply the project. The net result also would be that there would be sufficient water, a new water source, brought to the city to serve this project. Now, with that as the background, what I'd like to do is allow a little more detail, and I'd first like to start with Paul Sorensen from Fugro. Now, as you recall, Fugro studied the Meadow Creek aquifer, which is the one that is not really the focus of where the water is likely to come from at this point, although it can be treated and it is a source. But I'd let Paul go into a little bit more detail on that point.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Paul Sorensen. I guess I'm the one with the time conflict, and so I certainly appreciate being able to jump ahead of some of the items and get on this early so I can get on to my next adventure this evening. That's first. And second of all, John just did an excellent overview, even of just my portion of this evening's presentation, and so I really will not have a lot more to add, other than just a few. The aquifer and the wells are located in the Meadow Creek Valley, south of Highway 101, west of the Oak Park Road intersection. In that area, historically, as has been mentioned here, the city has referred to those wells as Wells 9 and 10 when they were drilled. The overall purpose of the investigation was to evaluate the ability of the wells to produce a long-term reliable water supply to the city, and to investigate whether the aquifer from which those wells pumped was a separate and distinct aquifer, or whether it was continuous with and in communication with the Santa Maria groundwater basin. There were three primary objectives of the study, tasks, so to speak, within the study, including one, to analyze the long-term reliable yield. Two was to assist the city's engineering consultant, the Wallace Group, in obtaining sufficient water quality data to evaluate the water quality constraints of the produced water and to estimate water treatment costs. And then the third objective is, as I mentioned, just to define the Meadow Creek aquifer and investigate the relationship of that area with the main part of the basin. First, regarding the long-term reliable yield of the wells, wells 9 and 10 were drilled back in December of 1985 and January 1986, respectively. Historical use of the wells has been very limited, with no municipal production from the wells to speak of since about 1991. To test these wells, we pumped each well separately while monitoring the other on a 12 hours on, 12 hours off basis. Well 9 was pumped at 173 gallons per minute for 7 days, and then well 10 was pumped at 253 gallons per minute for 4 days. And after analyzing the data from the pumping tests, we concluded that wells 9 and 10 are capable of producing groundwater at rates of approximately 150 and 175 gallons per minute, respectively. If the wells are pumped at a 50% operational rate, then that would result in a situation where the pumping water level would remain above the level of the uppermost perforations in the well, which is an important operational constraint that would increase the life of the wells and maintain the efficiencies of the whole system. But anyway, at those rates, the wells would be capable of producing a combined 22 acre feet per month, or about 250 acre feet a year. The second task related to water quality constraints of the system, conducted by Wallace Group, found that the water quality is produced water quality from the two wells is relatively poor with respect to total dissolved solids, iron, manganese, sulfides, and several other constituents found in the water. Both wells produce a hydrogen sulfide odor that if served directly to the customer would result in objectionable odors from the well. And the final conclusions of the Wallace Group study indicate that the capital cost to develop a water treatment system to adequately treat the water to acceptable standards would be approximately $1.9 to $3.8 million, depending on the level of treatment and the level of desired quality of the produced water, with estimated annual operations and maintenance cost of about $500 to $800 an acre foot. The third primary objective of the study, again, was to evaluate the relationship of the Meadow Creek aquifer to the Santa Maria groundwater basin, and then, if appropriate, estimate the perennial yield of that aquifer. On the basis of our geologic and hydrogeologic investigation, we concluded that the Meadow Creek aquifer, from which wells 9 and 10 pump groundwater, is part of and in hydraulic communication with the Tri-Cities Mesa, Arroyo Grande Plains area of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. In simple words, the Meadow Creek area aquifer is not a separate geologic basin. The implications of that finding are do all that at the end of all the presentations.
I'd just like to ask a couple of...
Sure,
just,
go ahead.
Of the... what I'm hearing you say is this: then this would not be a future resource for the city of Pismo Beach.
Correct.
Practically, from a practical standpoint, it would be an expensive additional water supply. That's what I'm hearing you say, and I guess that's correct. Yeah. But what I'm wondering, though, is since this is part of the Santa Maria Basin water supply, why does not that basin have the same chemical constituents and odors and everything? Why doesn't that flow throughout the basin? Why is it only located in those wells?
Well, a basin the size of the Santa Maria Basin, and as complex as that basin is, does not have equal water quality and equal hydraulic characteristics throughout the basin. And particularly along the fringe of basins, you often find differing characteristics and water qualities. And particularly in this case, at the very north end of the basin, right along the Wilmore Avenue Fault, which forms the northern boundary of the basin, there's a number of geologic constraints that often result in differing water qualities throughout a basin. Just the geologic definition of the basin does not necessarily imply equivalent or equal water qualities throughout. But you find that particularly vertically as well as laterally, but particularly vertically.
But wouldn't the hydrology soften that? I mean, is it flowing north to south? And what I'm wondering about is, over all of these millions of years that it has taken to form all of these things and whatever, that you would think that as the water is flowing back and forth between the two, that over this period of time there would be a softening of that because of the hydrology. And is that true or is that not true?
Well, it generally is true that as water moves through a system, that it improves with quality. I mean that's a very general statement, but mm-hmm. but you know, aquifers are often used in fact to treat waters. We see that all the time with effluent disposal systems.
Absolutely.
But it also depends on the geochemistry of the sediments through which through which the water is flowing. If you know, water is a wonderful tool to dissolve the chemistry of soil, and if the soils are such, or the geochemical makeup of the soils are such, the aquifer materials are such that it, you know, results or produces, for instance, high solid content in the water, then it will do it. Now, there has been very little pumping, as I've mentioned, out of that portion of the basin, and so there's been historically very little flushing as well.
And that's where I was going with this, that if those wells were put into production and if we were able to flush that through, that the hydrology or the movement of the water through there might in fact flush that out and then make it a more viable, less expensive resource for water in the future. And that's where I was going with this whole thing. Not to mention the delineation of these aquifers out there. I've often wondered, with all of the wonderful things that the military has, an example where they can take a look, you know, from satellites and you know, why can't we look into that ground? Mm-hmm. And why can't we find out exactly where all of these little pockets are? Mm-hmm. And I guess we can't, but some of these tests are very, very interesting to me, and also the possibility of that becoming a future water source. I mean, 220 acre feet a year, that's a lot of water. So that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Please proceed. You're finished.
I'm
okay.
Done. Yeah, I'm
Does
done.
Anyone else have any questions? Actually, I think I'll hold the questions till the end.
Okay.
Okay.
And thank you, Paul. And that, again, is the overview of one of the two series of wells that were studied. What I'd like to do now is bring up Spencer Harris from Cleith and Associates to talk about the Los Robles wells, their yield characteristics and quality.
Property, which there are three wells, tap an aquifer that we'll call the Los Robles aquifer. It is a sand aquifer that's part of the tertiary age Pismo formation, and that's marine sand bed. That aquifer is part of a structural basin which is formed in the Pismo syncline. And a syncline is basically a large fold in the rocks, and this syncline is a fold which is sub-parallel to Highway 101 and a few miles inland or north of the coast. These sediments, the shape of the reservoir which these wells tap, which is the aquifer, is shaped roughly as a bowl. And the extent of these sediments they underlie the Meadow Creek watershed. And they extend roughly from the hills just east of Price Canyon and down and through James Way, getting close to the highway, and then up towards Ormonde Road, and they extend completely beneath the whole Arroyo Grande fringe area and continue on into the Arroyo Creek Valley. Now, these deposits, the sands that are in the Pismo Formation, in the area that we're talking about, they have fresh water. But in other areas, they have oil and they have gas. And perhaps some of the water quality issues that were discussed just before this, as these sediments rise towards the surface, as you're getting farther towards the coast from the Meadow Creek watershed, then these older sediments rise, and you may have some oil-type sources for hydrogen sulfide and this sort of material coming into your freshwater aquifers. So once having defined the size and the extent of this aquifer, then the question is, what is the potential yield for wells? And in order to answer that, we have to do a little bit of background in understanding the flows and the hydrologic budget for this aquifer. And as a matter of fact, there are actually two aquifers that we're talking about. The Los Robles aquifer is the deeper of the two. And then there's also a shallower aquifer which forms the middle of the bowl, and that is tapped by many of the wells that are along Old Oak Park and Noyes Road and serves the domestic rural residential areas in the Meadow Creek watershed. The whole extent of this area we're talking about is approximately 4 square miles.
You say 4 square miles? Is that what you said?
Yeah, about 2,600 acres or so. In order to assess what the yield would be for this type of deposit, we look at, first of all, where's the, you know, what water's coming in? Where does it receive its recharge from? And we tried to be fairly conservative in just assigning values to what we know is, for instance, the precipitation and percolation from alluvial deposits along the creeks. There may be other sources. There's leakage from surrounding rocks and so forth. But we're just focusing. This is a general first cut on what this aquifer system could yield, and we did that. That was the August 2003 report, for your reference. And the results of that show that the total inflow is approximately, the potential inflow is approximately 450 acre-feet per year, and that's divided into percolation, precipitation, and then the seepage from the alluvial deposits along the creeks, and also some from return flow from the existing residents that are in overlying this basin. Now, that water goes into both of the aquifers we're talking about, the shallow aquifer and also the Los Robles aquifer. It's approximately a 50-50 division between the recharge into these two aquifers, because the main premise is the outcrop area. That's where the water can actually get in, and the two different sands actually have a very similar area of outcrop, even though one is in the middle and the other is surrounding it, sort of a donut shaped. So given that there's about 650 acre feet coming in, then what what is leaving water out to have space for the water to go back in during the wet season. So currently, you know, there's less water being pulled out, so there's less outflow. And there's probably, we're estimating approximately 150 acre-feet of rural residential production. And then the city of Oro Grande has, in the past, used up to approximately 50 acre-feet, plus or minus, from their well, which is also taps the Los Robles aquifer.
How much for residential production?
About 150 acre-feet per year. And most of that would be from the shallower zone. So if we were to just divide up or assign a portion the yield that we have, you know, 540 potential yield, which would be divided into the two zones, so 270 for the deeper aquifer, Los Robles aquifer, 270 for the shallow one, of which about 150 is now being used. And then in the Los Robles aquifer, approximately 50 sporadically being used by the city of Oro Grande. So that's just a quick overview of the hydrogeology. There are three wells on site, and two of them are older wells drilled in 1987 and 1990. And they're only 260 feet apart, so they're very close together. And as far as assigning a capacity for these wells, they interfere with each other to the extent that we're just assuming they're a single source. One well would operate, the other would be a backup. They could operate in tandem if that made sense. But effectively, you have two sources of groundwater. You have wells 1 and 2 together, and then well 3. And in the June 2004 report, we discussed results of a pump test or pump testing that was done at these two wells, wells 1 and 2. And that included a 30-day pumping period, which was a constant discharge test at a rate of 100 gallons a minute, and that was at well 2. Well 2 is the deeper of wells 1 and 2, and so it would be more reliable in a drought, and it was considered the primary pumping well for those two. So our main focus then is what would the yield of well, what would the capacity of well 2 be, or the well yield? And the results of those of that pump test were compared to what we knew about the production and water levels historically at the city of Oro Grande well, which is across the street. And in comparing those and using the results of the pump test, the interference that we measured, and so forth, we came up with a figure of 107 acre-feet per year as being the safe yield or the well yield for well number 2. Well number 3, which was drilled last year, is about 2,000 feet away in a separate area of the property. It's farther north. And so because these sediments it's a bowl, and so they're getting deeper as you go towards the north. This well actually encountered the Pismo Formation aquifer at 830 feet depth, I believe. And it, excuse me, at 850 feet. And it was on, because of the limitations of the drilling rig that was on site, the well was terminated at 960 feet. So we have about 110 feet of that sand in tapped by that well. And the sand is about 300 feet thick, so it only taps about a third of the total reservoir. As a result of that, the transmissivity is lower, the yield is lower, but because it's deeper, there's a lot more water in storage. And so we've using the pump test methodology for projecting water level drawdown over time, making some assumptions on interference. We've estimated or recommend a capacity of 40 gallons a minute for the deep well. Now,
having said that, the deep well can be pumped essentially indefinitely. We're being very conservative on that number. We're not allowing the total drawdown to even come close to the aquifer zone. And given the amount of storage that's in the aquifer, it can weather many, many drought years. So pretty comfortable with that figure. That would yield about 64 acre-feet per year for well 3, now, or any odor in that well, and possibly corrosivity, some kind of pH balancing. And the salinity of the wells, the well 3 is actually very, very good in terms of salinity. It's 240 total dissolved solids, which is excellent. And wells 1 and 2, I believe, are in the 600 to 800 TDS range, which is still potable, but it's higher, certainly, than well 3. That concludes my remarks. I'd be happy to answer some questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any other reports?
That concludes our reports from this end.
Okay, is there any questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
Mayor Protem. I just had a couple of questions so that I'll understand. It would cost between $500 and $800 an acre feet to treat this water. And did I understand that, sir? Whoever wants to answer that?
Which report? Medical or Los Robles Wealth?
They said, the first speaker said it would cost between $500 to $800 per acre for wells 9 and 10. So was that the correct number? That's what I wanted to know, if that was the correct number.
Yes, Madam Mayor, if I might, Rob Miller from the Wallace Group, that's the correct number. And that's the operations and maintenance costs, which is separate from the capital or upfront cost.
So it's separate from the upfront costs?
Correct. That's the ongoing.
Okay, so this, it's the what cost?
That would be the ongoing cost.
The ongoing cost.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, which isn't good. And then with the wells, for the second gentleman, the wells that are on the property and saying that the water that AG is using is only 260 feet apart. So what would happen if they increase their pool from that well? And can they?
Okay. Actually, it's wells 1 and 2 that are 260 feet apart.
Oh, I see.
The
okay.
AG well is farther than that. And I have to...
Well, still the second part of the question. What would happen if their pool would increase?
Right. Basically, well 2 is deeper. Well 2 would be the primary well for that cluster, so we'll talk about well 2.
Okay.
Well 2 would have an interference on well 9 in AG and vice versa. However, well 2 being a deeper well has the ability to pump at a lower with a greater drawdown or lower water level. So that's been factored into the equation of the yield for that well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then lastly, the $2.5 million that the developer has agreed to pay the city, does that include the $600,000 that was agreed upon at one of the previous meetings?
It does.
That includes it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Could there be some clarification, though, as regards to 9 and 10 and what the end result is, as that there'll be the use of the wells on the property versus 9 and 10? I'm not sure that was clarified.
To put it in real simple terms is, we've identified that there is an acre footage that we can get out of those wells, but we also identified that they're in the same aquifer as our gentleman's agreement with the other cities. So our gentleman's agreement is a 700-acre allocation. Although you can pump those wells, if we did, we'd break our gentleman's agreement, or we'd have to back off one of our other wells. So it became
a costly water source, but also it endangered the longevity of our gentleman's agreement. And that's reason why the investigation of the additional well on Los Robles.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was clear on that.
Yeah. Madam Mayor, Council, so if I could, so the staff's recommendation would be is, of course, then not to develop or pump the Meadow Creek wells, at least at this time, because...
That's what I wanted to clarify. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry. Did you...
There, this aquifer, and I'm talking about now Los Robles, that is not adjudicated. So there is nothing to prevent future development annexation coming into the area. I'm talking about John King. I'm talking about the Godfrey property. I'm talking about... There have been recent... discussions with the city of Arroyo Grande and PXP to ship that water out of our aquifer and put it into or at introduce it to the base of the dam. Now, this is hundreds of thousands of gallons of water a day that these people need to use. So... it's the future that has to dictate what we can do today, and with 155 acre-feet of water that we are being told is the safe yield, that is not nearly enough unless there is an adjudication process that goes through and gives us the rights to that amount of water. Others can come in and put a straw into that aquifer from many, many different places. I mean, there's golf courses being proposed out there that uses a lot of water, and how much of that do you lose to evaporation that's not going to percolate back down into the aquifer? So I'm not certain that you've done due diligence with reference to the amount of water that will actually be needed in the distant future and not too distant future.
Could the city attorney respond to that question?
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. We've actually taken a look at this on a number of different levels, not the least of which was originally in the development agreement. The rights that we're trying to preserve for the Los Robles wells are what they call overlying rights. Those are higher in the hierarchy of water rights than those who might pump and export, say, for example, City of Arroyo Grande. They're pumping out of the basin to supply the rest of the city. So we've been working to preserve that type of overlying rights for these two wells. With respect to anyone else who may be coming in later to pump out of that, we wouldn't be able to get an adjudication until the basin's in overdraft anyway. The courts aren't going to consider that until there is an overdraft to the basin. So that could never happen. I'm not saying it could never happen. It could be at a point in the future that never occurs. There may be insufficient drawing down from the wells put into that aquifer when coupled with the recharge of the basin so that it would never go into overdraft, and we would never have an adjudication of that. The vast majority of water basins in California are unadjudicated. So to wait for that day to come would put us in a less favorable position than what is being proposed by staff now, because if we wait to allow projects to go until the basin's in overdraft, they'll be last in line for that water. By doing it this way, what we're attempting to do is get those water rights into effect, because the water doesn't mature into those types of rights until you actually use it. So I think that we have looked rather in a detailed fashion at those issues, and we've tried to, in the best manner possible, preserve the overlying rights for the project so that we don't have to worry as much when that day of overdraft comes, if it ever comes.
Well, if I'm understanding you correctly, then I disagree. And the reason that I disagree is that we could then have been given a figure of 500 acre-feet is available. And the reason that I'm saying that is when you talk about a safe yield of only 155 acre-feet per year, What does that leave then for future annexations that are looking to come in to the city of Pismo Beach, like the King and these other properties? They're going to have water as well. And so what you have basically just done by, if we agree with this, is you have said, okay, we're going to give then Los Robles, Del Mar, the safe yield of this with about 5 extra feet a year for the city of Pismo Beach. But there will not now be any water available for any other annexations. And if we agree to this, I believe that that's the long-term ramification.
I think the error
is in the safe yield of the basin. The safe yield of the basin is higher than 150 acre feet, if I'm not mistaken. The safe yield is
270.
About 270.
270 in the lower aquifer and another 270 estimated in the upper aquifer that it's being used by the private property owners.
About 540 acre feet total is the safe yield of that basin. Los Robles wells are producing about 150 acre feet. So there's substantially greater safe yield in the basin than what is being proposed to come out of this project.
Okay.
There's another issue as well. The Los Robles Del Mar project is adjacent to Oak Park.
My thinking is that these two wells are very close together and are very similar in water quality. And so when the test was done on well number two, because it's deeper and it's the more reliable well, and the water quality for that well would represent well number one.
Okay, I'm just concerned because we were pretty surprised at the water quality of wells 9 and 10 coming from the Santa Maria Basin water. I was just curious, and we thought we'd pose that question to you.
Yeah, well, no, it's valid, but well 2 would be the primary source, and well 1 would be backup, and I expect they'd be similar. As they have in the past.
And did you do a water quality test on well number 3? I mean, you mentioned
some things,
but was that in our packet? I didn't see that.
It's in, if you have the 2005 construction report, it should be in the back of that.
I may have missed it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other questions from the council?
Just out of curiosity, what is Arroyo Grande using that water in well 3 for? Right? Is that potable?
Arroyo Grande, that's well number 9.
Well number 9?
Yeah.
Is that potable?
Yeah, they have a treatment, iron manganese treatment station there at the wellhead, and they treat the water. They used it mostly back in 95 was their biggest production year for that well. And it hadn't been used in quite a few years. But then as we were gearing up and testing the wells at Los Robles del Mar, they decided they were going to then go back in and get that well going again, which they did. And I don't have the latest figures on what they're doing.
That was my next question, if we had any figures on that.
I believe the well produces about 50 gallons per minute. And that historically, they've also produced about 50 acre feet per year, at least back when they were actually using it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what the current usage of that well is. But it is a potable supply well.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Was there any other reports before I go to the public?
No, we're completed with our report.
Okay. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor, Council, Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. One comment, one question. Comment is, wells 9 and 10 in what I used to call the Dismal Swamp have a history. They've been examined previously by hydrogeologists about, 15 years ago. Pretty much the same report at that time. They were used through the water treatment plant, that big ugly mess that sat at the corner of Five Cities Drive and 4th Street for many years. And the costs of treating that water were very high. Also, the question relates to using those wells and also anything else that's in the Meadow Creek aquifer. The way I remember reading those reports, Pismo Ecological Preserve is fed by the stream bed that is along the trace of that aquifer. So my question is, what happens to the water level in the ecological preserve's lake if a lot of people start taking upstream? Thank you.
No. Can anyone answer that question? Maybe not on the spot, so.
I can just reference the Los Robles aquifer, and allowance was made during the analysis of Safe Yield to allow for the full ET that's currently going on and the full outflow, subsurface outflow through the Meadow Creek alluvium, so that that base flow would continue to go outside of the area of the aquifer. Okay. So there's been that was set aside before stipulating, you know, what we thought you could actually draw from the basin.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll just come back to the council, and we've just been asked to receive this report. There's no action required. Is there any other comments that you'd like to make from the staff?
If the council's happy with and received this report, then the next step is we'll take all this information of this report and submit it to LAFCO for their evaluation, because we have to prove to them that we can provide the municipal services, and that'll be the next step in the process.
Okay, well, as long as it's a policy question, that's fine. Okay, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. With that, then we are done with this item, and then it would be past time, actually, for public hearing. So if the council desires, we could take a 5-minute break prior to the public hearing.